From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of January 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas. Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, will be along with today's agricultural news. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with meteorologist Ed Kieser and hear all about the Vegetable Crop Grower of the Year. That's their Hall of Fame. It was awarded by the Specialty Crop Growers about a week ago. Tom Hallett of Tom's Farm Market near Chicago to the northwest side is the vegetable crop grower, and his site, his farm, has been an important piece in American history. We'll hear all about it today during this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647. Or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up at the CME Group in Chicago. For this Friday afternoon, March wheat at $5.63.5, finished down 9.25. The May at $5.70.5, down 9.25 as well. July soft red at $5.77, a settlement price down 9.5 cents. March corn futures 4.24, 4 lower. The May futures at 4.31.75, down 3.75. And July corn at $4.38.5, down 3.25. A September contract in the corn pit at 4.43.25, 3.25 lower. December at $4.49, down 3.75 on the day. And the March corn of next year at $4.58.75, down 3.5 cents for the afternoon. In the soy complex, nearby beans at $13.16.5, up 1.5. May at $12.97.25, up a penny. July 12.82, 0.75 cents higher, in the August at 12.41.25, unchanged on the day. The November beans at $11.25, up 2.75. January contract at $11.30.25, 2.5 cents higher. March bean meal at $4.34.50, up 2.50, and the March bean oil at $37.80, down 25. The bean meal was up $2.50. Live cattle futures, February contract, $140.35, up 20 cents on the day. April futures at $139.30, up 7.5, and June at $131.45, 17.5 higher. Feeder cattle at $170, even 20 cents higher. In the January, the March at $167.90, 2.5, 32.5 cents lower. And lean hogs in the February at $86.17.5, down 70 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading the February contract at $94.15 a barrel. And the RBOB gasoline at $2.62.1. That's up $2.06 a barrel. Crude oil was up a penny and 9 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.89, down 3.9. And the difference between the ethanol and the wholesale price of gasoline is now 73.1 cents wide. That's 6.5 cents. Greater than it was yesterday afternoon. Natural gas at $4.32.7, down 5.5, and diesel fuel on the day at $3.02.4, 4 cents higher. Gold futures $1,251.90 an ounce, up $11.70, and the U.S. dollar at 81.21. That's up 0.3 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. It comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon. A 30% chance of snowfall, a high of 17 degrees, and then tonight cloudy with it gradually becoming partly cloudy. A low of just 10 degrees. Wind chill values will drop to 2 to 3 degrees. West winds at 8 to 15 tonight, gusting all the way to 20. And then Saturday, snow, mainly afternoon, a high of 28 degrees tomorrow. Wind chill values in the area between 2 below and 8 above. South winds at 8 to 17, gusting to 24. Chance of precipitation tomorrow set at 80%. New snow accumulation at 1 to 3 inches possible. Saturday night, a 30% chance of snow before midnight. Cloudy, gradually becoming partly cloudy. A low of 17 degrees. Wind chill values between 4 and 14. And a southwest wind at 9 to 16. And on Sunday, sunny skies and a high of 36. West-southwest winds at 11 to 17. Sunday night, clear and 26. On Martin Luther King Day, mostly sunny and a high of 30 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour right here on Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. It is the 17th day of January. On the phone line with us today to take a look at the marketplace is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And I've been on the road all week, and there are a couple of things I need you to bring me up to date on, because the beans for the week garnered a pretty good push to the upside, 38 cents higher in the March contract, November up 25 and a quarter, and they managed to hold that 1099 bottom. What did you make of it all?
Very nice technical week for the beans, and I think this comes in the aftermath of the report and the idea that the bull didn't get fed. You know, that's what we talked about on the Commodity Week program, and at least in my view, was that the bull didn't get fed last week with the USDA report. However, it did get fed with very strong exports again and a very strong surge in the January meal as the meal expired. And so now we have a situation, Todd, I think, where the Brazilian harvest is going to ramp up pretty quickly here in the next couple of 3 weeks, as long as weather allows for it. We've got the Chinese Lunar New Year that started yesterday that lasts for 40 days, and you've got the demand side of the equation waiting to see if we can keep this strong demand pace up or not. So I think, generally speaking, the trade has not moved away at all from what it traded before the USDA report. In other words, it feels good about bean demand. It continues to see good bean demand. It is less sure about corn and wheat demand. And even though we sold some wheat to Egypt yesterday, and even though we saw Egypt buy a lot of corn today and had very good export sales for the week in the corn, the market just is not ready, even though the USDA report would say it's time to reverse thrusters on the spreads, to reverse those thrusters on the spreads, and they take the least line of resistance, and that is buy beans and sell corn, and buy corn and sell wheat right now.
On the soybeans, the new crop managed to gain 25 and a quarter as well. Is that mostly based on deteriorating conditions in South America?
I would like to think that, but then you'd have to say if there's planting delays going on in Argentina or dry pockets in Brazil that's causing problems, you probably have to then introduce the idea that the pollinating corn in Argentina is getting hit even harder and that the second crop, safrinha corn, is going to be pushed back even farther. So I don't think South American weather was really traded that much this week, Todd. I think in the wheat market, the U.S. plains weather garnered some mild support with some very cold temperatures being talked about at the end of the month, but I can't see that the beans really found a lot of weather support. I think it really does go back to the demand, and I think wheat is the exact mirror image of the bean market, and that the demand usually puts lows in the market prices, and we saw the wheat go right back down to within just a couple pennies of its report day low around that 560 and a half level in March. So I think beans are really pretty much all about demand, and if that's the case, it's about China demand, and if that's the case, it's about the meal demand. And so China, meal, technicals, I think everything, most paths lead back to the meal. And so the meal chart to me, the weekly and monthly chart, are very, very important as we close out this month and make preparations to make some more 14 bean sales above the 1125 level.
Yeah, March bean meal up $20.90 on the week at $434.50. If this is demand driven based off of meal, does that mean it abruptly ends? Should the South American bean crop, that is, come to a fruition that is in good condition, and how soon would that happen, or is there a different scenario you're looking at?
There is some similarities and some differences, and I think in the seminars that I'll be doing here in the next couple weeks, the 2004 bean market seems to resonate, that we did have difficulty sustaining these price levels after March because we did see the South American crop come on. One of the things that the Argentine situation presents itself and the Brazilian presents itself a little bit differently than back then is the currency situation. Both producers in both those countries are holding on to beans right now. Argentina, because their inflation is getting pretty much out of control, second only to Venezuela as far as their inflation rate right now. In the whole world, they're number two. And I think in the case of Brazil, they're waiting to find out what the government's going to do in terms of export taxes and that currency play there as well. So I think those are things that are a little bit different than 2004. But the market price action, I think, could be very similar to where it's very difficult as you get into February to really keep this going. And I think the other thing that I wonder if we're not putting in a little bit too much hope in the Chinese continuing on their bean demand, not just because of South America, but because also the bird flu coming on. I'm seeing more and more types of bird flu come on, and I'm seeing more and more locations around Asia where bird flu and avian flu is starting to take hold. And with this Lunar New Year, they could transmit that in a lot of different places. So I worry that unlike the GMO corn issue, we've gotten that discounted into the market. Maybe we're counting on a little bit too much demand in China as we get into the springtime.
So if we have near-term demand for old crop soybeans, but we may have a large crop coming out of South America yet, I think those are two things you're telling me.
Correct.
Does that mean you have yet penciled in old crop and new crop soybeans again, and when producers might want to make some additional sales for both?
Yeah, I think that once you see that bull spread start to collapse and give way, and that, you know, the July NOVE spread is probably the best one because the July and the May contracts would be the South American commodity or the harvest coming in on that contract month. And so if the July NOVE bean spread would break back below that 125 to 135 level where we broke out above just last week with the January leading, that would be your first indication that it's time to go ahead and let the old crop go, start some new crop sales. And then if you see the need in the March, April time period after a good strong correction to come back in and buy some re-ownership policies, that'd be fine. I think this is where the bean market is going to, I think, give us several occasions where we can improve our prices on the new crop, because the market, if it's like corn and wheat last year, it's going to move very violently from an inverted market to a carrying charge market once the gig is up and the supplies build. And so I think we could be ready for that and potentially do some good in that respect as well.
All right, that's a good transition. Let's head to the corn market. What is your druthers there?
Well, you've got to hold the 560.5 level in the March wheat if you want the corn to bottom. I think that's one of the main features to what we talked about on Commodity Week last week, one of the main features I put out on the weekend copy. I still think 450 March corn, I still think 450 cash corn is in the cards at this point, Todd, but we could go a lot higher, in my opinion, based upon that model we talk about on the elasticity, if we could get wheat underneath us. We did lose some ground on Argentine weather today, but I think that's more on the July and the May contract again and not so much on the March contract. I think your demand came back this week, and so the downside in the cash, I think, is very limited. We probably have to clean up some of the cash sales that we made in the old crop corn after the report came out, get the pipeline thinned out here in the next week and a half, and then I think the cash market will come back pretty nicely.
I believe, but I'm not certain, maybe you can confirm or deny this, that there was pretty good cash movement this week, so the market should have come under some pressure, is that
there
right?
There was, yeah, there was. From Kentucky to Indiana to parts of Illinois, there were long lines, and it seemed like the report day and the pop and the basis during the report really brought out a lot of corn. And I think logistically with the weather and the roads clearing up, you had an extra amount of corn coming on as well.
Well, what do producers do then? They've already made a sale, or many of them probably have, and I think it may have been new sales opposed to deliveries, but maybe you can correct me on that.
I think it was both. I think they really jumped on the 450 December corn price.
Right.
I think, though, they also probably got some of that good basis back booked in when it came to the old crop as well. So my take is continue to keep the pressure on the futures market. In other words, keep the puts in place until you get the wheat bottom and you get the buy signal in that grain index chart, and leave your cash in the bin and wait another week and a half. Most of the producers I've spoken with the last week since last week's report, who are very disappointed with the price action, also realize that we did fill up the pipeline pretty nicely. So give it till the end of the month when it comes to the cash old crop.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He joins us here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Hey, one note as we make our way through the afternoon, we're still open to have you come to our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event. Bob Easter, the president of the university, will be our keynote speaker. It's pretty rare these days that you have the president of a university, a land grant, be an agriculturalist, and we'd like to have you on hand for that. That's next Friday, not this one. You can sign up on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or they'll direct you to the right place at 217-333-7300. That's the phone number for the station here. We sure do hope that you will sign up. A few spaces left. Frankly, I need you to sign up. It's $100 a plate. I'm looking forward to having you. Here's Dave now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Gina McCarthy sat in the hot seat yesterday as a U.S. Senate committee took her to task on the Obama administration's climate change action plan and carbon regulations. Senator Jeff Sessions, a Republican from Alabama, essentially cross-examined McCarthy about why she seemingly was not familiar with data he presented showing the Earth has been in cooling mode for the past 15 years. Sessions continued to argue EPA has no authority to regulate carbon dioxide via the 1970 Clean Air Act, and he questioned the administration's continued reference to warming temperatures in making the case for the Climate Change Action Plan. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled EPA could regulate greenhouse gases as long as it made an endangered filing, which it did. A group of bipartisan U.S. senators expressed concern yesterday regarding trade restrictions on U.S. chicken products by several countries participating in the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade talks. TPP is a proposed trade agreement currently under negotiation by Australia, Chile, Canada, Japan, Mexico, New Zealand, Singapore, the U.S., Vietnam, and other countries. In a letter sent yesterday, 11 senators urged U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman and USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack to do everything possible to provide for open markets and fair trade of U.S. chicken products. And Indiana State Senator has introduced a bill to authorize industrial hemp cultivation by the state's farmers. Senate Bill 357, introduced by Senator Richard Young, would authorize the Indiana Department of Agriculture to license the cultivation and production of industrial hemp pending federal approval. The bill would also authorize the Indiana State Police to inspect licensed hemp crops for compliance with the program. The Grocery Manufacturers Association, which represents more than 300 food companies, is preparing a petition to the chief U.S. food safety regulator and a push in Congress to require changes in oversight and labeling of new genetically modified foods. The double-pronged strategy is aimed at state-by-state efforts to mandate labeling of foods containing biotech crops and at the same time setting a standard that, among other things, would authorize GM foods to be touted as natural. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Now up next, the Specialty Crop Growers of Illinois have named a new member to their de facto Hall of Fame. I'll have more on the Huntley, Illinois native.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib.
The 2013 Illinois Vegetable Crop Grower of the Year started his business at age 16. Tom Hallett was not a farm boy, and he rented a couple of acres more than 50 years ago. His love of fruits and vegetables, though, started as a 4-H project at age 10.
When I was 10 years old, I used to go to the woods and pick wild strawberries and take them up to my house and send my friends and neighbors a little postcard and say, I have strawberries for sale. And I loved flowers in my mom's flower garden also. And I had a vegetable garden at home too, even prior to being 10 years old. So I loved growing plants.
At age 16, Tom Hallett rented a couple of acres, opened a roadside vegetable stand on U.S. Route 20, just north and west of Chicago near Bartlett, and began selling vegetables.
And I still operate that farm stand today, 52 years later.
Years ago, it was called Tom's Vegetables. Today, it goes by Tom's Market. It's been the site of some historical events in our nation's history.
Yes, it has. The most impressive one that comes to my mind as far as a historic event and how it relates to associations, our Illinois Vegetable Growers Association, was the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1976 that President Reagan signed. And that was 36 years ago, and this is 36 years later, and we still have absolutely nothing new. Anyway, through our association, we became good friends with A.D. Moyer. He was in the federal building in downtown Chicago. He was the Midwest District Director of the INS, Immigration Naturalization Service. And through many meetings with him, going downtown with our old-time members, we became first name basis. And then President Reagan signed the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1976 and to legalize illegal aliens. And the first site for this amnesty program chosen was my farm in the summer of 1976. It was very historic and a tearjerker because this was the first time that illegals came voluntarily face to face with the head of the INS. It was a momentous occasion.
An historical occasion and the first site in Illinois where farm workers in the nation illegally were granted amnesty. It took place at Tom Hallett's farm shop. It is just one of many reasons the specialty crop growers of Illinois have honored Tom Hallett as the Vegetable Crop Grower of the Year, their Hall of Fame. You can visit Tom's Farm Market during the growing season in Huntley or Bartlett, Illinois, for fresh fruits and vegetables, breads and jams and sauces, and even bedding plants.
Support comes from Country Financial. Country Financial is hosting farm information sessions throughout Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates to the federal crop insurance program, the Farm Bill, and how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. Registration information is on their crop update website at countrycrop.com/update.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Just one more time, if you'd like to sign up for our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event, it's just a week away, January the 24th at Bevere Hall. It'll be a great evening. Should be a lot of fun. It's a fundraiser for scholarships to the College of ACES. Come and visit with us on the evening of January the 24th. You can find all the details about Voices of Illinois Agriculture online at willag.org or just call here at 217-333-7300 and ask about Voices of Illinois Agriculture. Back in 2 minutes.
It's National Chocolate Cake Day. The domestication of coca beans dates back to at least 1500 BC, and by 300 BC, Maya elitists were drinking an unsweetened coca drink made from the ground beans. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, Ralph Majeski was born, a Polish-born American bridge builder and designer. His first major commission was the design and construction of a 7-span bridge with railway and highway over the Mississippi River at Rock Island, Illinois. In 1922, Nellie Bly died. In 1889, Bly successfully completed an attempt to beat the record of Jules Verne's fictional Phileas Fogg to go around the world in 80 days. Bly was a U.S. newspaper reporter and completed the journey in 72 days, 6 hours, 11 minutes, and 14 seconds. And in 1950, Science magazine announced the new antibiotic terramycin. Made by Charles Pfizer and Company, it was isolated from Indiana soil and found to be effective against pneumonia, dysentery, and other infections. It was the result of the company's intensive quest to find new organisms to fight disease, acting on theories that bacteria-fighting organisms would be found in soil. Pfizer solicited soil samples worldwide, received 135,000 soil samples, and conducted more than 20 million tests. Researchers literally got soil samples from the bottom of mine shafts, from the bottom of the ocean, from the desert, mountains, and everywhere in between. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
This program comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here are the settlements on the weekly trade from the CME Group in Chicago. Friday to Friday, March corn at $4.24, finished 8¾ cents lower. December at $4.49, the weekly change down 9¼. March beans at $13.16½, up 38. November at $11.25, 25¼ higher on the week. They bottomed, by the way, at $10.99. March bean meal at $4.34.50, up $20.90, and the bean oil at $37.80 finished 43 cents on the weekly change. March wheat at $5.63½, down 5½. July at $5.77 finished 3¾ lower. February live cattle $140.35, the weekly change up $3.65. March feeders at $167.92½ were off 45 cents for the week. And April lean hogs posted an outside up week, finishing at $91.90, 90 cents higher. Now here's Ed Kieser, meteorologist, with the weather forecast.
Problems are growing in southern Argentina due to excessive dryness and high heat. Many locations in Buenos Aires, La Pampa, and southern Cordoba have not had rain in more than a week and have moisture deficits of 3 to 5 inches since the beginning of December. That dryness and heat is impacting nearly half of Argentina's corn and soybean crop. Hot and mostly dry weather will continue this weekend. Next week, a few disturbances and eventually a cold front will bring a few chances of rain and gradually bring a break in the heat. The big question mark is how much rain will fall next week. At this point, it appears that an inch or two may fall in the driest areas, which would be the most since the beginning of December. Dry and cooler weather should follow from Friday into the beginning of the week of January 27th. Southern Argentina has had problematic weather all season, from too dry and then too wet weather for planting to the current hot and dry weather for vegetative and reproductive crops. It is likely that yields have already been reduced, with the threat of more reductions if rainfall remains subpar. One thing for sure, rainfall is needed. If rain does not materialize in a significant way by next Thursday, the focus next week will be on the reduction of the crop size from Argentina. The other area of concern in recent weeks has been across parts of center-west into southeast Brazil. Most of Goiás, Minas Gerais, and Bahia have been intensely dry of late. It does appear that the weather pattern is changing and much-needed rain will fall across that region over the coming week, improving crop conditions. Meanwhile, south Brazil and neighboring Paraguay and northern Argentina are expected to turn mostly dry for about a week. This should not be a problem, as that's one area in South America that has received adequate rainfall in recent weeks. Rain chances pick up again around next Friday.
Our thanks go to meteorologist Ed Kieser here on Illinois Public Media.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.